Welcome to the Moose Room. Happy New Year. It's 2025, and this is the first episode of the new year. I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday season. You might be able to tell my voice is a little hoarse today. It's always a joy to go to family gatherings and come back with a cold or virus, whatever you may have. But we move on. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit about a case study on a calf that we had at our research center and what happened to it. Yes, we had a sick calf and it died on us. And I really want to go through some things about this calf and then get at a diagnosis and some things that we could have done and what's actually happening with this. So it's an interesting case. It's happened before, but it's very rare at our research center to see this. Once in a while we do. So let's talk a little bit about this calf. It was a conventional Holstein. So in our herd, we have two herds here, a conventional and an organic herd. So this was a conventional calf. So we could have done anything possible as far as treatment. So we'll start there. So it's a Holstein calf. It was born October 1st. And for those of you genetics, it's a rapid out of a Delta. So purebred Holstein, registered Holstein calf. At birth, we vaccinate for Enforce 3, a respiratory disease, once PMH, and we also give calf guard. This calf was disbudded on October 29th, so about 4 weeks after it was born. And then at the end of November, we started treating this calf. So on November 27th, this calf wasn't looking good. I'd went in there, noticed this calf looked kind of skinny, looked a little down. Its head was droopy, ears were droopy. It just didn't look like a healthy calf. So we temped it. It had 102.4 temp, so a little bit up on temp. And then we started treating it. So we first gave it some Baitrol. And we also gave it electrolytes because the calf looked a little dehydrated. So we started feeding it electrolytes. And we were giving it electrolytes almost every day. So I should say that this calf was on our automatic calf feeder. So we'll go through the auto feeder information in a second. But it was on our auto feeder and it wasn't drinking. So we were supplementing it with electrolytes. And for some reason, this calf wasn't drinking off the auto feeder. It would drink out of a bottle, so we were giving it milk and electrolytes out of a bottle, and it started drinking just fine. And then we were treating it again, giving it electrolytes. November 29th, we gave Baitrol. On November 30th, we gave it new floor. Obviously noticed a little cough, what was happening in the calf, and we continued to feed electrolytes every day for this calf for almost a week. And then on December 3rd, the calf died. Came in that morning, the workers came in the morning, and the calf was dead in the pen. So this calf was 63 days of age. They had not been weaned yet. We were weaning at 12 weeks. The vet came out, the vet did a necropsy, and the only conclusion that the vet came up with was septicemia. And that's a really broad term, and it didn't really tell us much, but they took tissue samples and sent them into the University of Minnesota Diagnostic Lab, and we got that report, and I'll go over that in a second. But I wanted to go back and look at this calf because I had a lot of sensor information. I had a lot of data on this calf, and could something have been caught earlier with this calf? Possibly. So if you look at weight, so our automatic calf feeder, it's a Holman Lau. It has a forefront weigh scale. On November 17th, it looked like it was starting to lose some weight. Here looked like about 100, it was losing 10 pounds on November 17th. So remember, that was 10 days before we started treating it. This calf had a slight dip in weight gain. If you look at milk consumption from this calf. On November 14th, it started going down. So we feed 10 liters. So this calf was going right along at 10 liters a day, no problems, drinking everything. And then on November 14th, so this was, again, 2 weeks before we started treating this calf, we saw a sharp decrease in milk consumption down to about 6.5 liters per day. So clearly something was going on. It wasn't drinking as much as what it should have. On November 20th, we're down to 5 liters. So this calf is drinking half of what it did on the 20th of November. Remember, on November 27th is when we started treating it. It had went back up a little bit, but then once we started treating it, it crashed on the day that we treated it down to about 2 liters. Then we treated it. It went back up to about 5 liters the next day and then went down after that. So this calf had really started showing signs in milk consumption or lower milk consumption about 2 weeks before we started treating it. If you look at drinking speed, it looks like about the 17th, kind of around the same days that weight gain was down and we saw the consumption of milk go down, drinking speed starting going down. So a drinking speed is obviously an indication of sickness. So if the calf isn't drinking as fast, it's not feeling as well, and there's just a sharp decline in drinking speed for this calf. About November 20th is when it really started to go down, which was about 7 days before we started treating this calf. Now, in a previous podcast episode, I talked about sensors on these calves, and I had put Cow Manager, that's an ear tag sensor, on these calves because I was curious to see what would happen. Can you detect disease earlier? How does it correlate to information coming out of the calf feeder? Well, it is quite interesting to see what is happening in this calf. On November 1st, we see a little bit of increase in not active. So this calf is not doing as much activity. Its high active is down. What happened around this time? Disbudding. So we disbudded this calf, so it picked up a little bit of less disbudding. But after that, the calf didn't really recover. If you look at around November 5th is when we see a big decline in eating behavior, in rumination behavior of this calf, down to almost nothing. And the not active behavior, or we could say lying around or just standing there, increased a lot. From November 1st, really started increasing about the 13th. Remember, that's the day that we saw weight gain down, milk consumption down, drinking speed down. So about the 13th or 14th of November is when you see these big drops, even in the sensor data. So it is interesting that I'm picking up sensor data information on this calf from an ear tag, drinking speed, milk consumption, all from the sensors, all about the same day, about 2 weeks before we started treating it. Now, towards the end, it appeared that this calf was maybe getting a little bit better, but in the end, it did end up dying on us. So like I said, we did a vet report, or the vet came out and did a necropsy on this calf. So, and I just got this back before the Christmas break. So this is kind of new information on this calf. So let's go over what the vet report says in detail. So obviously this is our calf. Some of the clinical signs that the vet had noticed were fever, maybe some scours, and a little bit of pneumonia. Remember, we were treating it for possible scours, as well as we treated it for pneumonia with Nuflor. So this was a roughly 2.5-month-old Holstein calf. Says the history reports that this calf was sick for about 10 days, which was when we started treating it, not the prior information that we could have caught probably 2 weeks before that. But it said the animal had fever, scours, and a mild cranioventral pneumonia. So slight pneumonia maybe. So the animal declined overnight and died. So the vet came out, did a postmortem examination, and had noticed that the liver, the kidney, and the mesentery lymph nodes were all swollen. So they took lung, liver, kidney, intestine, colon, and lymph node tissue and sent it to the University of Minnesota Vet Diagnostic Lab. And they did a bunch of tests to figure out what was possibly going on in this calf. Here's a few of the points from the vet reports. This was done by Matt Sturos, is a wonderful a veterinarian pathologist at the diagnostic lab. They did some special stains, basically found that there was no bacteria or fungi present in some of the sinuses. If you look at the intestines and the colon, you'd notice that there was enterocolitis. And what is that? That's inflammation. So the intestines and the colon were inflamed, obviously from scours, probably an inflammation. You noted that there was no significant growth in salmonella. So that was one of the things that we were maybe concerned about talking with the veterinarian before we had gotten this diagnostic report was, oh, well, maybe this is a salmonella case, which we don't really have on our dairy. We haven't seen it in a long, long time, but you never know. But this was salmonella negative, basically. No growth of salmonella. It also noticed that the enterocolitis, so the inflammation, was most consistent with a bacterial infection. But it also states no significant growth in the colon or in the intestine of salmonella. It showed that there was prior viral enteritis, so which means there were no viruses detected in the feces from this calf, but it's possible that a virus could have been cleared at the time of death. Know that the report doesn't say that, but we'll go and say that there was probably no viruses in this calf. If you look at the lymph nodes, obviously they were swollen, they were examined. It said there was a large amount of new antigens in them, in the sinuses. So it suggests that there maybe have something draining into the lymph nodes that is difficult to figure out. They did some stains in the lymph nodes, and that didn't reveal any bacteria or fungi as well. So if we look at the kind of the final results, and the interesting one comes at the end. So if you look at it, no growth in the intestines, no growth in the liver, no growth in the lungs, no salmonella. We also, they did some testing for coronavirus. That was negative. Bovine viral diarrhea virus, so BVD, that was negative. Leptospirea, that was negative. Looked at rotavirus, that was negative. So what is it? What's going on with this calf? Well, if you look at the parasitology, the fecal exam, they did some fecal floats, and it shows up as Emeria species. Now, what is that? What is Emeria? It's coccidiosis. So this calf had coccidiosis, and we have seen this on our dairy before. It happens. Usually, it doesn't get to the point where the calves are dying. I have seen a couple calves before. Back when we were doing our raising our calves on the cows compared to individual or group housing, we had a calf that was being raised on mom, die of coccidiosis, kind of the same thing. Was getting dehydrated. We were feeding it electrolytes. It was doing better, and then it just died. Coccidiosis was the culprit. So let's talk a little bit about coccidiosis and what is it, briefly, how it could be prevented, how could it have been prevented in our dairy. So obviously coccidiosis is a parasite. We know that there were no bacteria, no fungi found in this calf, so the parasites showed up. So coccidiosis is one of the top five significant diseases in cattle. Obviously, some of the symptoms that you see include diarrhea, which our calf had scours, sometimes bloody. We didn't notice any bloody scours. It had weight loss and potential neurological symptoms that lead to death. Sometimes these chronic cases result in reduced growth and they have many other secondary infections, possibly respiratory infections, which our calf showed as having a slight case of pneumonia. So obviously this is a parasite. It's transmitted via fecal oral route, often through contaminated feed or water or soil. The diagnosis for coccidiosis is upon really fecal examination or postmortem, so when the calf dies. So there's many things that you see about coccidiosis. Obviously, you probably see this a little bit more in younger calves from 1 month to 1 year during stress or environmental changes. The environment was changing a lot here. So it was getting warm. It'd get up to 30, 40 degrees and then go back down to 0 Fahrenheit or below 0 Fahrenheit. So we had these huge fluctuations in weather here in Minnesota. Obviously, you see more infections in confined spaces under moist or warm conditions. So it'd warm up, get cold, warm up, get cold. And we just had a lot of moisture in the air. There were some days where it was so foggy, there was a lot of moisture in the air. So what a great time for growing coccidiosis. And obviously, you probably see it a little bit more in the wintertime here in the upper Midwest. We talk about treatments for coccidiosis. What can we do? Well, probably some of the big things are management. Let's talk about management first. And we always talk about management and wanting to do that. Obviously, maintaining clean, well-ventilated housing with proper drainage, prevent overcrowding and fecal contamination of feed and water. So could there have been this? Could we do a better job of having a more clean environment in our calf barn where our automatic feeder is, cleaning out the waters more often? Yes, we can always do a better job. We're guilty of it as well at our dairy. Cleaning always gets the last task to do, but we could always do a better job of cleaning. Obviously, minimizing stress is probably a big thing as well. Now, there's some medications that you can use for coccidiosis that are on the market. And a lot for calves comes in with calf feed. It can be in the form of an ionophore, either Rumensin or Bovatec. You can see that in feed. So that really helps with our calves. We did not have Rumensin or Bovatec in our calf grain because we are raising all of our calves in an organic system, feeding organic milk, even though they are conventional calves. So we don't have Bovatec or Rumensin in our calf grain. Something for us to think about into the future about separating our calves. Can we do it? Do we have enough calves to do that? Does it make sense from a management perspective to separate our calves so we can at least feed some Bovatec or Rumensin to our calves? Well, what else? There's some other things. You can feed Corid. That's probably one of the big things that people use. Sulfa is, or Albon can be a big one, or Decox. So we can do a lot of these things in the feed or in the water to help prevent coccidiosis or to help treat coccidiosis if we have an outbreak. But remember, probably the biggest thing is maintaining a clean environment that's not crowded. And obviously, we're going to do a better job at that. One of the last things about treatment that I found was interesting, it's not approved by the FDA yet, but we had Pete Erickson. Now, he was on before of our podcast talking about colostrum, and he does a lot of wonderful work on calves. And he did a study in New Hampshire about feeding sodium butyrate to prevent coccidiosis in calves. These were diseased calves that they looked at were 3 weeks of age to 1 to 2 years of age, where they had diarrhea, slow-growing calves, and sometimes death. This was in the Journal of Animal Science back in 2022. What is sodium butyrate? Well, if we think about it, it's found in the human diet. It's present a lot in Parmesan cheese and butter. And the most common source of sodium butyrate in the gut is from legumes. So they fed this sodium butyrate and it to help improve the intestinal lining, which counteracts some of the damage done by the coccidia or the parasites. So their study showed that the sodium butyrate and its breakdown product, which is butyric acid, was effective as menensin or rumensin in reducing coccidiosis in calves. So sodium butyrate supports gut health, it supports development and growth in calves, and nutrient absorption. So although this isn't yet FDA approved for coccidiosis prevention, it certainly shows potential as alternatives to antibiotics into the future. But like I said before, it all goes back to management. What could have we done? Could have we caught this calf earlier? I think we could have. Obviously, some of the signs from our auto feeder and the other sensors were showing that probably 2 weeks before we started treating this calf, it was getting sick or it wasn't feeling very well. So I think it's essential for us to look at, if you have sensors, if you have auto feeders, if you have technology, just take a little bit of time every day to look at it. You can pick up a lot of information on these calves so fast, so fast. We cleaned out the calf barn afterwards to help clean up. Obviously, cleaning is the essential thing, cleaning waters, making sure the bedding is dry. It's hard to control the weather with all of the moisture, but obviously proper ventilation helps out. So really management is the key. And it's unfortunate that this calf died from coccidiosis. There were a couple other calves in the pen that kind of looked like the same calf did that we were treating, but they haven't died, but they'll probably be stunted in the future. So I hopefully you've learned a little bit about what happened to our calf. It's quite interesting. It was not the typical rotavirus or coronavirus or anything else. It was coccidiosis in a 2-month-old calf that had died. And that management and cleanliness are the key to stopping the spread. So with that, thanks for listening. And if you have any comments or questions about our calves or what you heard, feel free to let us know at the Moose Room. That's themoosroom at umn.edu. Or you can find us on the web at University of Minnesota Extension, or find us at UMMWCROC Dairy on Instagram or on WCROC website. And we'll see you next time. Bye.